Season 6 of the CMO Suite is presented by Bid4Media. Bid4Media is the leader in providing biddable media solutions across all forms of media, including traditional, digital, social, experiential, and more. It's like eBay for media, with choices from radio and TV advertising to OTT, trade desk, display advertising, influencer marketing, and more. No sign-up fees, no boring training, no bullshit. Visit them at bid4media.com. Season 6 of the CMO Suite is also sponsored in part by Uconnex. Uconnex provides managed services in the programmatic space for brands and agencies across the U.S. and internationally. It uniquely provides true transparency in the programmatic space by sharing how much of each campaign actually goes to publishers, platform, and how much is profit. If you are looking to better understand true working dollars or are just looking for an audit of your existing digital partnerships, visit them at uconnex.com. That's Y-O-U-C-O-N-N-E-X.com. And Winmo. Winmo is one of the leading sales prospecting tools that delivers the information you need to identify opportunities and close more deals with advertisers and agencies. Search brands, agencies, or contacts and leverage Winmo's smart filters to pare down thousands of prospects based on annual revenue, job title, locations, mobile occurrence, planning periods, and more. Visit them today at winmo.com. And finally, No Kid Hungry. With Season 6, we'll be completing our 100th episode of the CMO Suite, and we're proud to announce we'll be compiling highlights of our previous guests for a book called CMO Suites, Recipes for Success, with proceeds to benefit the No Kid Hungry organization. Help feed hungry kids by donating today at nokidhungry.org. And don't forget to visit Marketing Cast to catch any previous seasons you might have missed of the CMO Suite, or to check out other amazing podcasts in the industry. Once again, that's marketingcasts.com. Now, let's start the show.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You are listening to the CMO Suite. It is Season 6. It's kickoff time. And what that always means with us here at the CMO Suite is I am joined by my season kickoff co-host, for lack of a better description, Sri Rajagopalan. Sri, welcome to Season 6 kickoff.
Hey, Sean. What a pleasure to do this again with you. And I think this is 5 in a row.
Yeah, it's either 4 or 5. Obviously, I can go back. We do enough research for this part of it. I didn't even go back to kind of think of how often we've done the recap. I think it's probably 4 or 5, Sri, because every time it gets closer and closer to a season, I know you and I are kind of always talking and I'm like, okay, it's almost time.
Absolutely.
And then as you may know, between seasons, I do kind of a one-off podcast. I did the Digital Fix 2 years ago. And then this past summer, we did a podcast called Buyer's Remorse, which was all about media buying, which was super cool and exciting. And since the time that you've jumped on with me, not only as a guest, but then to recap our seasons, you have now successfully launched a podcast yourself, which is now crushing mine. So there's love in my heart, but also a little bit of envy along the way. CPG guys.
Crush or not? I don't know whether we're crushing it or not, Sean. That was never the goal, but let it be publicly known. The CPG guys was a... I learned podcasting from this guy that I'm talking to right now. Before that, I didn't... I had attended one or two podcasts, but I really enjoyed co-hosting the season kickoff with Sean. I really learned what a podcast is. I chatted with Sean about it, ran the idea and said, hey, we're going to do this thing called the CPG guys, and I'm going to do it with Peter Bond. Sean said, give it a go. Here we are, man, 130 episodes deep, and we've got an epic following. I think what's unique in what we do, Sean, why we have a following, is we're really right at this middle of the transformation of the industry, right?
Absolutely.
If you thought about our CPG industry, last 10 years, the biggest transformation is how the consumer spends her time. And a revolution has taken place in terms of our attention span. You know, last night I was talking to someone from Firework Media about the 6-second attention span. I personally am convinced the future of advertising is the 6-second attention span. You tell me, Sean, how many brands have taken that to heart?
Well, again,
you deal with so many of them.
Yeah. I mean, the beauty of what you've said, Sri, is a couple things. One is that the worlds are all merging together. Digital has obviously helped us transform that. When you think about the automotive space, which is always typically what kind of tends to kind of lead the world, they spend, you know, they're one of the largest spenders out there in the marketplace. And CPG, for the longest time, you know, other than if you were Lucky Charms and you were advertising on Saturday morning cartoons, you kind of got away with just being in the grocery store and hopefully maybe somebody might have walked past, maybe you had great, you know, shelf placement. You probably didn't have to invest a ton into actually branding the brand. And now at this point, look, it's not only is it a level playing field, and I know later on today we're going to talk on your podcast about that, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the playing field is not only leveled, but now most of us, or many of us, don't even go into a grocery store anymore. So how are you going to be top of mind if I'm not even looking at where you are on the shelf? You have got to grab me faster. And so you're right. You guys were right at that precipice. It helped actually push me more into that side of the business as well. I will say that we've been blessed with some of our companies to have picked up a few additional CPG brands. And that really, for the group that runs the agency side of our business, it's where I think a lot of their emphasis will be, because it's a perfect opportunity. Those brands need to grow. They need to get into media. They need to figure out how to adjust their marketing. And you guys talk about it all the time, which is great.
Absolutely, Sean. And what a great name for the show that you have, Buyer's Remorse, right?
That was a funny one.
If I was a buyer of advertising in the last 7-8 years, I'm remorsefully looking back at how I've made my investments, right? For the first time in history, Sean, you do this every day for a living. I arguably don't. I'm learning every single day, you know, leading a large organization today. I'm learning the ROI of every investment penny you put in. You know, I learned from Indra Nooyi the statement. Indra Nooyi, of course, ex-CEO of PepsiCo at some point I worked for, make every penny a prisoner. Every dollar that one puts into advertising must be made to work as hard as it can for you. In a previous life, it was all about attribution. Today, you got the full funnel. Is there a better way, Sean, to get ROI out of your dollars rather than invested in digital? And one other word I want to drop in there, Sean, because I come from the world of insights, customer insights, shopper insights, consumer insights. We actually used the word for in-store shopper marketing displays, trip interruption point. How outdated is that I used to think of a consumer, a shopper, that I can interrupt her trip. And that's what my whole advertising campaign was built upon once upon a time, like a trip interruption point. It's all about meeting her at the moment where she is and delivering some sort of personalized attention to her. And I said, trip interruption point. Holy smoke, Sean, what do you think?
Well, listen, that's how this business had been for so many years. To me, again, part of the beauty of doing this podcast, the CMO Suite, has been to be able to talk to marketers at all different phases, you know, all different points in their career point. And I'll be again the first to say that there have been many of them that I have felt like, wow, they're not 6 months ahead of the game. They're a year. They're a year and a half. You know, I look at somebody like Meyer Gupta, who was on a few seasons ago, and gosh, just sitting there, I was a little bit in awe of just like, wow, I had never really thought of certain things that way. And Jackson Gianigan was another one from several seasons ago that I just felt
Clorox,
like,
correct?
Yeah. Just like, man, this guy is so, so smart. So many of those. And so again, that brings us to this point, which is the beauty of the podcast, an opportunity to be able to listen to different marketers, where they are, not only in their phase of life, where they've been, where they've traveled, where they're headed, what's their struggles. And then again, for you and I, we continue to evolve ourselves. You've got a brand new position that I want to at least make sure that we mentioned kind of at the start of the show as well. Because I feel like when you and I first met, I think you were you at Revlon at the time? Do you remember?
Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, you were right. Johnson & Johnson. And then did you spend a little time at Revlon during that journey?
I did.
As well?
Spent about a year.
And then you built kind of something for yourself as you were kind of navigating through other pieces. And then finally talk about your current position right now, Sri, because it's pretty exciting.
Got the memory of a hawk, man. This is all true. And, you know, I've been fortunate that I've been able to get rotated at PepsiCo, both through functions, whether it was leadership in marketing, whether it was the customer leadership, retail side, e-commerce, even IT for a year and change. And then Revlon was leadership in sales. Johnson & Johnson was very specific leadership in e-commerce sales. Did my own thing for about a year, which really, Sean, gave me the unique luxury of learning the art of CPC. And managing ROI CPC, which I'll tell you, for large brands, very reliant on an agency. That's good for your business, Sean.
Sure.
But the partnership will strengthen even more if a brand marketer can sit across the table from you and have an adult conversation about the CPC. It shows desire to want to participate. You'll still have to execute the CPC, make no mistake. But, you know, it can be a much more qualified conversation. And Sean, today, I have the role of being the senior customer partner for General Mills in the North America segment. The exact title is Chief Omnichannel Commercial Officer. I represent a North America segment's partnership with every single customer that we have in the marketplace in North America. So that could be the largest ones, different formats, the small ones, whatever it is. So I'm thoroughly enjoying the role. The hope is to deliver for our customers and consumers this unique, new, and transforming outcome for the consumer at the end of the day. Because whether she's in store, whether she's online, it really doesn't matter. She's 24/7 these days.
You know, again, that's some of the beauty of podcasting in general. And if you've listened already through this and you haven't already zoned out and you're continuing to listen, it's amazing how we can take what we've done in our lives and how we've continued to be important in the roles that we sit in. But a podcast is such a great way to continue to kind of push yourself forward, continue to kind of educate yourself. You know, our holding group decided to invest in SaaS this past year. I'd never sat in the SaaS space. I did not know it well. I didn't understand the language. It's very Russian to some extent. It still is. But again, a couple of podcasts in, a summer podcast last year called The Digital Fix, of being able to just kind of say, what is this space I'm getting ready to invest in? And, you know, today I feel like I can hold a pretty reasonable conversation with a front end developer, a back end developer, somebody that's worked in Django, somebody that's built, you know, all things in Asana. I mean, whatever the platform is, I feel like I've gotten a better and better knowledge of that. And as you continue to get a better and better knowledge, again, that just tends to lead to kind of more transparency. The more transparency you have, the better you can represent the brands that you're out there talking to. Let me hit on just two more quick things if I can, Sri. A couple of other changes for us on the show, one of which is we do have a new presenting sponsor. Speaking of that tech stack, it's called Bid for Media. Bid4Media.com is a leader in the biddable media space. You just consider it kind of like eBay, but for all forms of media, both digital and traditional. And we're super excited about where that's going to take us. We feel like as we've continued to build that tech stack out, it's kind of a step above a DSP. It's anything that can't typically run through demand side platform. And at the same time, it's also offering up really interesting and unique opportunities like NFTs. And as brands are out there trying to figure out, how do I get into this NFT space and what is it and what should I know about it? Again, we've got a platform that some of that kind of stuff will probably run through. So we're excited about that. And then the last part is just this. We're putting out a book. At the end of this season, season six, we'll have had 100 guests on here. We are going to put out a book called CMO Suites, Recipes for Success. And if you continue to listen through the season, you'll see that we're going to bring back some of our favorite guests from the past. We're going to catch up with them. And then as we put the book out, we'll have all of the guests in there. They'll be talking a bit about where they've been, what they're doing now. We'll have them each pick out a favorite recipe or dessert or drink, and we'll put the book out there. It's all going to benefit No Kid Hungry, which has been a sponsor of ours since season one.
Let me just put it out for your audience right there and be pretty clear, right? Folks, if you want to learn what is in the mind of today's CMO, I'm going to tell you, just based on this past season, who Sean had on and whether you need to buy this book. You decide, but the answer in my head is pretty clear. CMO of Jefferson Dental, Igloo, Investors Business Daily. Just look at the spectrum of what I'm just talking about here. Expertainment. The season kicked off with Walmart Plus, by the way. That was my favorite episode, and we're going to get to it in a bit. Guitar Center, Tonal, Bumble, another one of my favorite episodes. We're going to get to it in a bit. Rocket Mortgage, and Power Drive Motorsports, and they were another three more, but I won't spend time talking who they were. But just look at the diversity in the different industries. Like, folks, if you want to learn what is going on in the mind of a CMOs, the industries that they represent evolve, this is the only show that covers it. Sean, when that book is released, I'm declaring it, I expect a copy, Sean.
Well, listen, I'm sure you'll be writing some pieces in there, because probably what we're going to do with episode 100, Tree, is we're going to turn this thing around. I'm going to have you actually interview me so I can talk a bit about my journey. I appreciate the praise that you just gave there. Again, you know, this episode is meant to do just that, talk a bit about what we did last season and then talk a bit about the seasons that's coming up. There are some great other marketing podcasts out there, which if you don't know more of them, you can go to marketingcasts.com. We list a lot of them there over the years. We've really fallen in love with a lot of those other ones out there. I want to take just a brief moment and then we'll kind of dig into this past season to talk about what's coming up on season six. So we just released the slots a few days ago. We have filled almost all of them. I've only got three openings left, which is great. We're going to have brands represented, including G2, Pepsi, Hunter Fan Company, Jockey, Node, Eastport Holdings, Indeed is going to be on there. Park Mobile will be back talking a bit more about what they've done. We've got the CMO for Box that's going to be on there. So we've got a lot of really amazing brands that we haven't talked to in the past. And as I mentioned, we're going to have some of our favorite brands coming up a little later on in the season as well. So let's talk about season five. You said that maybe the Walmart Plus episode was one of your favorites. That was Cynthia Kleinbaum. And what was interesting about that was we had actually recorded her at the tail end of season four. The start of COVID was around there. There was some craziness that happened with her episode. episode, and we actually had to ask her if she could come back to kick off season 5, and she was certainly kind enough to do that. But boy, talk about a brand that is a legacy brand in Walmart and at the same time is really continuing to kind of push themselves forward. That was a really interesting conversation, I thought.
Absolutely, Sean. I call them the world's most elite retailer for a reason, right? That said, Sean, I have to really, if I had my Yankees hat on, I'd take it off and give a bow right now to Cynthia Kleinbaum. The most important, paramount friction change taking place in our industry today in the COVID tail era is supply chain. And when you look, when I talk to my customers, when I talk to other brands, my peers in the industry, the biggest issue in everyone's mind is stock and service. Being able to get product on the shelf, digital or physical, doesn't matter at the end of the day. In that episode, the season kickoff episode, Cynthia said a very important statement that I won't forget. She called it out before COVID. How she did that, I have no idea. Supply chain and marketing need to talk to each other. And the logic she gave is when people, brands choose to advertise on Walmart Connect in her world, if the product is out of stock, that is the worst dollar that one can spend. And that's the context she gave it in. But folks, marketing, supply chain, you all need to talk no matter what you sell, what product you curate. This is the industry's most important challenge we have to solve for the consumer in 2021 and 2022. And Cynthia called it out way back then, Sean.
Yeah, again, they're always seem as if they're at the forefront. Really enjoyed that conversation with her. And then we kind of jumped into the consumer side with Guitar Center. I had met Janine Daddario before, I believe, either at an Ad Week event or maybe an Ad Age event. I've always been a fan of that brand. I thought she did a great job kind of talking about the industry as well. And really, she spent a little bit of time talking about how you just kind of touch a consumer and figure out a way to kind of ensure that they're involved in the process along the way.
Two things for me on that one, Sean. One is talk about bringing the new world of branding into an industry that largely ignored branding. You know, I'm not going to name brands here, but she gave concrete example. And the way she felt she elevated the game for Guitar Center was by connecting branding directly to social, which, you know, for you and me, that's in the middle of our heart when it comes to outreach for a consumer. That was pretty cool. But just listening to that episode, my eyes and yours awoke to branding is relevant in whatever brand you want to curate or whatever you want to put out there in the marketplace for consumers. There's no industry where branding is not important. Equity development is directly proportional to the outreach to the consumer. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the other kind of odd things about this industry to some extent, especially if you're a chief marketing officer, if you're a VP of marketing, is sometimes, you know, that longevity gets to be tricky. And that's either a mix of just different opportunities come your way or somebody decides that they want to go a slightly different direction. I think the last report that I had read said something like the typical CMO is only, you know, in one spot for 2 years. If they're there even longer than that, that's just so unusual. And so as we rolled into that next episode and we talked to Chris Stadler, who's over at Tonal, I had known his name from some time that he had spent where I live, which is in Tampa. And so it was really interesting to see kind of where did his journey take him and to see him do everything that he did while he was with a couple of different companies here in Tampa and then roll that into what Tonal has kind of become. I just thought that was so interesting that, again, that emerging, you know, area between tech and fitness, and he's right at the forefront of it right now, which was pretty exciting.
Fellow alum from Revlon, how about that? You know, he talked about his Revlon experience at length, but my big takeaway from that one, Sean, was really about the COVID era and the post-COVID era, right? In the fitness space, it's not just the fitness space, beauty, skin, hand, body, food consumption, beverage consumption. But in that particular episode, the fitness space, COVID has changed how people view fitness, right? We saw the explosion back in the summer of 2020 of people bringing in fitness products into their homes for the first time because there was no gym to go to. And even now with gyms steadily and slowly opening across various parts of the country, some parts of the country have rules. It's like all over the place, right? You got to wear a mask. Personally, for me, Sean, the hardest thing to do is wear a mask while I'm at the gym because I really want to push myself hard.
Absolutely.
So the post-COVID era, Sean, he rightly pointed out gym equipment and just the human realization that, man, you can invest time now in your personal gratification from a health standpoint has exploded exponentially. And Tonal's right in the middle of that business.
Again, which then kind of leads it back to me to some extent. I guess things do that sometimes. So as you may know, I'm single. I have an amazing, absolutely amazing ex-wife who I still love to death. We have a great relationship. She actually named the book. She came up with the idea for CMO Suites because our son is a baker. And so again, it's just funny how some of that comes full circle. But you know, I'm definitely trying to stay in shape, which then led me to the guest, not intentionally, for episode 504, which was Shachar Scott. I'm going to say that one more time. Shachar Scott. She's the VP of Global for Bumble, which is a pretty amazing app out there. Again, apps are crazy if you're in the single space, but they've done a really interesting job. They kind of let the female side of the equation go first. She was so nice and so sweet and so just cool. And at the same time, I want to make sure that I mention they do some of the most interesting experiential marketing that's out there. You take a product that, again, is a great product, and how do you kind of just, how do you resonate with people? And I just follow her on LinkedIn. I love everything they do. I think they've just been really an amazing brand.
You know, before I talk Bumble here, though, Sean, what is your favorite baked goods that your son makes? What is your number one favorite?
Oh, he makes these really good cinnamon rolls, Sri. I mean, they're just...
That one, John.
It's probably like 1,000 calories. I probably have to run 6 miles just to work one of those off. But yeah, a lot of fun. With honey, there you go. That'll lead us right back to Bumble.
If I know one thing about Sean, he will run the 6 miles. So I think you're entitled to have more of those. And the next time we meet in person, which isn't too far away in October, we're going to be picking up a Krispy Kreme cinnamon roll. Or you can bring one from your son. Either way. And then we'll hike Griffith Observatory together to kind of burn it off. What do you say, Sean?
We'll tie it all in.
But back to Bumble, right? That's Sean and the adventures of Sean and Sri.
There you go.
But back to Bumble, right? The most curious thing that I learned in that episode, Sean, was she actually worked for John Kerry. What are the odds that the VP of marketing at Bumble learned marketing being an assistant in a political ecosystem for John Kerry back in the days? And the learning she kind of pointed out why, right, is that she was promoting female empowerment. That was her job. And then she realized, hey, I'm in marketing. I'm actually branding John Kerry as a female empowerer. And the whole system around John Kerry wasn't just one human being, but the entire purpose and the cause. And that resulted in her going to a company where Whitney, of course, youngest CEO, who has actually done a record IPO. What was it, greater than a billion?
It was a lot. It was a lot.
And like that company, and you know, if you've studied the story of Bumble and how it was started, I'm just in awe, right? And you know, sometimes in our industry, Sean, classic fast-moving consumer goods, we tend to think we know the story of how to do marketing and we know it all because we've done it for 100 years. And you just mentioned a little while ago, the biggest mistake we can do is if we continue to just attach ourselves in one ecosystem for our entire career, right? We often start talking to ourselves. It's and believing that our way is the only way. It's very important to be externally focused as well. Understand what other brands and industry are doing. And Bumble is one that I personally, since you had her on the show, I've been following what they do from marketing. Experiential marketing that they're participating in is next gen.
Yeah, you know, the last thing I'll say on Bumble, and then we can jump to a couple of the other episodes that we had was, you know, I'm sure there were plenty of people that said to them, nope, we don't need this. There's already enough of these apps that are out there. No, nobody needs what you're trying to build. And sometimes you just say, okay, all right. And then you just keep going. You know, again, I think Shachar was one of those people that probably the same thing. Sometimes some of the things that she probably has wanted to do at various stops in her career have probably said, well, that may not work. And she, again, just seems to have that kind of right attitude of like, okay, well, let's see. So, and again, I'll leave it at this. She's also one of those people that just seems nice. As I follow her on social media and she follows me a little bit, it's somebody that you do sometimes walk away from some of these episodes and just feel like, you know, I could grab dinner with that person. That's a really normal kind of
absolutely
kind of hang out with, which I have done just that with what our next guest, Adam Arnett. I've actually known him for several years. He talked a bit about his time at Jefferson Dental. And when I'm headed out to Los Angeles this next time, I'm also kind of hoping to catch up with John Becker, who was the CMO and still is for Investors Business Daily. I did actually meet with him when I was out there the last time in Los Angeles. I met with him, and I also met with Tammy Powers, who is the founder for Power Drive. So again, one of those things sometimes, or even in this crazy world of COVID, sometimes just sitting down with somebody in a room and breaking bread with them, maybe having never met them before, you can kind of walk away still and feel like that's a person that could be in my life for a very long time.
And I'll be looking forward to when you and I do that in October.
Absolutely.
But I want to point out for our fellow marketers here, Sean, a very important, if you haven't heard the episode with Adam Arnett, you may say, Jefferson Dental, what am I going to learn for that? There's a very important statement that he made midway through the episode. And he said, how do they compensate marketers at CMO Jefferson, at Jefferson Dental? You know, traditionally, you'll think revenue is the way because that's what everybody else does. They compensate their marketers on the basis of net promoter score and patient experience versus revenues. And he gave the example of, guess which of the regions, Jefferson Dental, is the one that's really getting the most revenues as a result of that, the one that's delivering the highest net promoter scores and surveys coming back from consumers for patient experience. Marketers, your user experience and your experience for your consumers triumphs metrics as revenues only, because revenues will come down to an algorithm game versus user experience. Thoughts, Sean, on that one?
Yeah, he did talk about that net promoter score thing, which again was interesting. I think it's maybe one of the first times on one of the podcasts that somebody kind of dug into that. I had heard it. I'm sure some of the brands that we've worked with in the past, you know, probably focus on it. But again, I thought that was a really interesting and, to your point, kind of a nice kind of sidetrack to that. I want to make sure for time we get a chance to talk about a few of the other guests that we had on there. Again, Brian Garofalo from Igloo was really cool and super interesting. We just talked a tiny bit about Jefferson Dental and Adam Arnett. And then we were starting to talk a little bit about Investors Business Daily with John Becker, who again was just one of the nicest guys I could have sat down and had dinner with. And then lo and behold, as I'm sitting there with John Becker, I had also invited Tammy Powers to come in, and she just sucks all of the wind out of the room when she walks in. She walks in big, she walks in bold, she walks in as if she's known you forever. And I've really enjoyed spending some time with her since the time I had her on the show. I've actually been out. I've sat with her and her boyfriend and some other friends of ours along the way, some previous guests on the show as well. But gosh, talk about somebody who's just going to try to build something from scratch and is not going to take no for an answer. That definitely is Tammy Powers at PowerDrive.
I'm going to drop two things in there, Sean, before getting to PowerDrive in 1 second. One is Investors Daily, right? What I loved about John was the statement of they have a chief content officer. Of course, they're a content platform, so obviously they have the largest teams out there. But for me, it reinforces what you said on season 1, 2, 3, 4, without fail, again and again and again. At the end of the day, folks, content is king or queen, depending on what you do. And you also have repeatedly said, Sean, which I subscribe to that exact same theory, brand needs to ask itself, are you doing it? Because many brands aren't. Like, content needs to be your best friend. Expertainment, my biggest takeaway was the chocolate conversation that was had. Did you know, Sean, that in surveys that Expertainment has put out there based on what we learned from Gordon is people prefer chocolate if they're a female over sex. How about that?
Listen, I Gordon said it. I don't know if I believe it. I'm just gonna leave
what
it.
He said, man.
I'm just going to leave it right there. But Gordon Ho was a great guest. He was on episode 508. Really, I've known him again several years. It was nice to be able to get him back in. And then at the same time, we brought Casey Herbis back in from Rocket Mortgage for our Rewind episode, which every season we try to do at least one of those where we re-talk to a previous guest, and had a really great chance to be able to speak to him about what he did with the Super Bowl this past year and really what Rocket Mortgage has done to really kind of own that industry.
Yeah, Sean, as I wrap up my thoughts here, a couple things I want to point out. One on the, I want to go back to Tammy Powers, right? You asked me the question. I felt like I never answered it, right? For me, the biggest takeaway is, folks, and it's important every marketer go listen to that episode. Why? Because she talks about the empowerment of the female athlete as a brand spokesperson and how in the industry we're not doing this often enough. We have a responsibility collectively in the industry to be very diverse with our thoughts on who we use. And that episode kind of opened my eyes and wow. It's important to kind of get jump there and look at the female athlete as a spokesperson for a brand. And there's one other statement that Sean made, which Sean and I often talk about in our personal lives. We are in strange times in COVID. A lot has happened from a mental health perspective. The importance of therapy, folks. Those that need help, get them. You know, Sean and I both, I think Sean has said in the past, he said it on that episode, the importance of it, folks, don't hesitate. Get help when you need it from a mental health standpoint. And then on the Rocket Mortgage, I'm going to put that as my second favorite episode, Sean, after the Walmart Plus one, for the simple reason that you and I are gung-ho, 24/7, digital, 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 digital. Casey talked all about non-digital, what you and I would label and the industry would label old school offline media running 24/7, 365, 24/7, and how they use simple content in even today. Printed flyers, TV, to get their message across. And it's a reminder for me and my fellow marketers, the same message. Media is not a one-way train that only goes in one direction and it's all digital. It is still very much a balance, and offline media still has a role to play depending on the industry and product you make.
Absolutely. And as we start to kind of round the corner in wrapping up this recap episode, again, we're super excited about season 6 coming up. I'm on with my co-host for my recaps as we kick off each season with Sri Rajagopalan. And so I just want to wrap with a couple of our final guests with the season and speak about that for just a little bit before we do start to kick off season 6. You talked just a bit about Tammy Powers and that female empowerment. There were several guests as we started to actually finish up season 5 that I felt like dovetailed off of that really well. well. You had Julie Podolak with Modern Pop, and you had Stephanie McCarty with Taylor Morrison, which again has kind of led the way with providing female empowerment opportunities. And so I was really excited to talk to both of them. And at the same time, it was great to have kind of an old school guy and Duke Finelli with ANA on as we started to wrap that season up as well.
Yeah, for me, Sean, the net takeaway was, you know, female empowerment folks, if you're not upping your game, now's the time. And then old school marketing, Sean, very much today has a value. In fact, I'd say with all the attention going to digital, somebody needs to look into old school marketing in the physical world and say, okay, I'm going to go back and build some muscle power over there. Because I think the space at which the industry is moving, my personal concern is we're going to lose muscle strength in the industry, period, over there. And that shouldn't happen. And that's how you closed out the previous season.
Well, sometimes it always just comes down to a good idea, which again is, you know, hopefully where we end up taking this bidformedia.com platform is a chance for people to be able to still look at things that are a little old school, not everything that's all digital, things that are just unique or interesting out there. There were two final guests that we didn't get a chance to kind of talk in depth about, but I want to make sure that we mention them as I talk about technology. One of those is Matt Rapicki, who's the CMO for Jose Bank. What a really interesting episode, I thought, because I just wasn't thinking about how important fashion is in the male fashion industry, but Matt really kind of helped open my eyes to that. And then the last piece just on the tech side was a homie, and that's Joe Grover, the CMO for that group. Again, somebody who I had a chance to not only have on the podcast, but then I had mentioned the fact that I was coming out to Utah, and he was like, hey, come on out. I'll host you. We'll get a chance to break some bread and kind of create some conversation. And, you know, for me, of all of the guests who I just met last season, Joe may end up being kind of one of those that I stay in touch with, you know, and I always try to go out and see. And as we build, you know, our own platform, he's done that many times over. And so he's been super helpful and kind of giving me some guidance along the way. So I appreciated his time as well. Sheree, that's our time. We're out of it. Listen, we want to thank you guys all for listening through, hopefully, this whole episode of the recap of season 5 and our kickoff to season 6. I want to personally thank Sheree Rajagopalan for coming each season and joining me as part of this. And I'm super excited to see what he continues to do with his podcast out there. The CPG guys, if you have not listened to an episode, you certainly should. It certainly feels like to me that's where the future of marketing is.
And Sean is going to be on the hot seat, and we will dig in deeply into buyer's remorse, digital fix, how Sean curates this epic list of guests that he has on the CMO suite. But Sean, I thoroughly enjoyed doing this with you. I thoroughly enjoy listening to all 3 podcasts. It is one of the education platforms for me to stay in tone with what's going on with the consumer. I won't even say industry. I need to stay close to the consumer, and you are providing me, Sean, a way to do that as I do other things in life, whether I drive a car and I'm listening to it, whether I'm taking a walk, whether I'm exercising, I'm listening to one of your 3 shows.
Always appreciate it, Sheree. Thank you guys all for being listeners. Thank you for sticking around through all of the seasons. If you've missed any of our previous seasons, you can find them all again. You can just head straight to marketingcast.com to find any of the previous episodes of any of the other podcasts, or you can go to the CMOsuite.com as well. Thank you guys, and we cannot wait for the kickoff to season 6, the CMO Suite.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. For marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting, but your agency should. Uconnects provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to Uconnects today for a free demo. Uconnects, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.
Season 6 of the CMO Suite is presented by Bid for Media. Bid for Media is the leader in providing biddable media solutions across all forms of media, including traditional, digital, social, experiential, and more. It's like eBay for media, with choices from radio and TV advertising to OTT, Trade Desk, display advertising, influencer marketing, and more. No sign-up fees, no boring training, no bullshit. Visit them at bidformedia.com. And Winmo. Winmo is one of the leading sales prospecting tools that delivers the information you need to identify opportunities and close more deals with advertisers and agencies. Search brands, agencies, or contacts and leverage Winmo's smart filters to pare down thousands of prospects based on annual revenue, job title, locations, mobile occurrence, planning periods, and more. Visit them today at winmo.com. And finally, No Kid Hungry. With season 6, we'll be completing our 100th episode of the CMO Suite, and we're proud to announce we'll be compiling highlights of our previous guests for a book called CMO Suites, Recipes for Success, with proceeds to benefit the No Kid Hungry organization. Help feed hungry kids by donating today at nokidhungry.org.